Item number 17, Mr. Levine, the clerk will read.
A Senate Bill 1634 by Senator Levine and others, an act relating to pets.
Mr. Levine, you may open on the measure.
If I thought I could soft sell this, I would. Thank you, Madam Speaker and members. I request that as we begin this debate today, while this subject does lend itself to a few grins and a few jokes and a few puns, and I've made them myself, I'd ask people to keep in mind a couple of basic facts here. The state of California spends, and I want my Republican colleagues to hear this as they consider their comments, the state of California and local government spends $300 million a year on the care, housing, euthanization, and disposal of animals at shelters. Let me tell you that again, because I talked to a couple members in the lounge who weren't in committee when I presented this bill, and they were astounded. $300 million a year. It is the third largest reimbursable mandate that the state pays to local government is to cover shelter costs for the state-mandated portions of that. Remember that as we're making our discussion and debate today. We have nearly 1 million dogs and cats a year going into shelters, and over 50% of those, nearly 500,000, euthanized every year. The local animal control is overwhelmed and inundated. They have a hard time attracting and retaining personnel. Veterinarian turnover is very high. You go to vet school, you want to become a veterinarian, you want to help animals. At the local shelters, you end up killing animals, and I'm not going to use the term euthanize. You kill perfectly healthy, adoptable animals because there is nothing else to do. If you don't kill them, they sit in the kennels, and then the ones that come in the next day and the day after that and the next week, there is nowhere for them to go. Turnover at the shelters amongst staff is equally as high. So while we may want to make a few jokes about this, this is a hugely serious problem at the local level, and we need to do something about it. It's a fiscal problem, and it's a humanitarian problem. This bill is a work in progress, members. We have taken significant amendments, working with law enforcement, the California Highway Patrol, working with with PORAC to address their concerns. We've been working with Guide Dogs for the Blind, service dogs, number of other working type dogs. We're continuing to take continuing to have discussions and taking those amendments. I believe that by the time we get this bill back from the Senate, we will have narrowed the opposition to just those few or those many who simply believe, as expressed in letters and in testimony, that it's their God-given right to breed an animal and the rest of us can go you know where, that they can dump those animals in shelters, that they can do whatever we want, and we just can't interfere with their right to do that. Now, I know there are responsible pet owners out there, and the responsible owners, you know, tell me that they want to comply with this. But I have seen too many breeders stand up and say it's the irresponsible owners who are doing this, or irresponsible breeders, without ever being willing to participate in any program to identify who those irresponsible breeders are. Now, some have accused me of having a very complex bill. This bill is actually a relatively simple bill. It says spay or neuter your animal or pay a $500 fine if it gets picked up on the street. The complexities arise in putting the exemptions in there for people. If we didn't have those exemptions, this bill would have even more opposition. The exemptions are for the health and welfare of the animal, for show animals, for breeding animals. But in order to craft those exemptions, it makes the bill more cumbersome. But think of it in a similar way as a traffic citation or anything else. We know an unaltered dog or cat running around loose on the street is a problem. They can breed multiple litters of multiple babies each year. That becomes a significant problem. Animal control currently has no ability to do anything about it. It would be the equivalent of having speeding not be illegal. You know it's reckless. You know it endangers people. You know it endangers public safety. You see somebody driving down the freeway at 110 miles an hour, and yet there's nothing law enforcement can do about it. This bill gives the local animal control sworn officers the ability to address the problem. They can assess a $500 fine, which is waivable, if you either provide the legitimate exemptions in the bill or if you spay or neuter your animal. It is actually, despite all the hyperbole, despite all of the noise, despite all of the opposition, a relatively simple bill to address a serious problem modeled very closely on a Santa Cruz ordinance that's been in place for 12 years. There's been a 60% reduction in the number of animals going into the shelters in Santa Cruz. All of the hysterical rhetoric that the opponents have put forth has not come true in Santa Cruz. There's still pets available. There's still mutts available. Animals are still affordable. We haven't ended pet ownership. None of the hysterical arguments have come true. What they've seen is a 60% reduction in the number of animals going into shelters. Members, again, $300 million a year and growing. Third highest reimbursable mandate, 1 million animals a year into shelters, 500,000 euthanized, and a huge turnover. We have a vast list of support of local governments from around the state, number of law enforcement organizations from around the state, elected officials. It goes so far.
Mr. Levine, your time has expired.
I will simply ask for an aye vote and add more on the close.
Mr. Duvall.
Madam Speaker, members, I stand in opposition to this bill. I believe it'll make a significant problem only worse. In the name of reducing pet overpopulation in California, AB 1634 will force dog and cat owners to pay an expensive fee for privileges of owning a pet that's not spayed or neutered to address these problems caused by an irresponsible few. I believe it is zero tolerance for those who would abuse and neglect their animals and whatever takes to bring those irresponsible owners to justice. Forcing them to have their pets spayed or neutered or pay an expensive fee, I believe, does the opposite effect. We may see fewer and fewer pet owners taking their dogs and cats to receive proper veterinarian care to local animal clinics for fear of being forcing to obtain an expensive permit to pay an extortion fee for not neutering their pets. Perhaps the most tragic reducing number of pets available in California will likely significantly drive the costs associated with adopting a new dog or cat, making it too expensive for many families and lending to even more unwanted pets. Members, there are many unintended consequences of this bill. I strongly urge a no vote.
Mr. Gaines.
Thank you, Madam Speaker and members. I stand in opposition to AB 1634. This is an unneeded mandate. It's an overreach. Let pet owners make their own decisions to spay or neuter. Crossbreeding is needed for livestock protection and for herding. And what's wrong with a mutt? I think probably everybody here at one point or another has had a mutt as a pet. They're good animals. What we really need to focus on is education, not a mandate. I urge a no vote. Thank you.
Parliamentary order.
For what purpose do you rise? State your point of order.
Members are reading without permission of the presiding officer.
Members can read from their notes, but if they're going to do so, they need permission from the body. Members, please be advised that if you're going to read anything other than your notes, you need permission from the presiding officer in the body. Mr. Adams.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. I rise in strong opposition to this. I got to tell you, this is a matter in which I have been lobbied by the most vociferous lobbyist in all of creation, my wife. And she cannot stand this bill. And I want to tell you why. This bill is so overreaching that it would actually criminalize us, my family. I want to tell you a little story here. My wife is a huge, absolutely amazing advocate for dogs. She goes to the shelters every Sunday and engages in what's called a kind of a testing process to make determinations about which dogs should be put down and which dogs shouldn't be. The underlying assumption being that too many shelter workers don't have the expertise or the knowledge about how to properly choose a dog that may be appropriately placed and the type of home that dog may be appropriately placed in, and those that are not appropriate for placement. She has to make really difficult decisions every day, and she sees the hard realities of what happens with pet overpopulation. My wife works closely with the shelters. She works closely with the rescues, and she knows firsthand the consequences of what Mr. Levine is trying to remedy. In essence, his ideal, his intent is very noble, and it's noteworthy that he deserves credit for taking this issue as seriously as it needs to be taken. And no question, does this, in fact, have large implications on our financial condition in the state of California? But make no mistake about it. This would criminalize otherwise good people. We compete in agility in our household. This is a sport in which dogs run through a series of obstacles, over A-frames, through weave poles, through tunnels, and it's a timed event where a handler controls the dog off-leash for this competition. There are like four major forums for dog agility internationally. Four major competition sport groups internationally. Only one of those requires purebred dogs. The other three not only do not require a purebred, but actually encourage the use of shelter dogs, of rescue dogs. The presumption being that a dog shouldn't be excluded because they're not a purebred recognized by the AKC. This is noteworthy because what? A dog who is going to be used in agility competition often does not want to get, you don't want to get that dog spayed or neutered until they're about 1 year old, because the growth plates on a dog closes at that time, and that gives them the greatest likelihood that their knees and their hips will be preserved as they are competitive over the course of their lives. Members, this is not just a question of me saying knee-jerk reactionary like that I don't think Mr. Levine's bill is good. I'm telling you that scientifically, this does not do me any good. I've asked Mr. Levine about taking potential amendments to address this concern, and he keeps reassuring me that at some point in the future they'll happen. Well, I'm frankly not prepared to move forward with the bill without knowing that those could have happened, but he chose to wait. I do not want my family to become criminalized because we choose to do the responsible thing and have our dogs spayed or neutered at about a year old so that they are most actively prepared for competition. And believe me, it is a very strenuous sport. You want your dogs to be in perfect health for these types of things. Members, this bill frightens me to my core because I have to go home and face my wife if it passes off. Please, do me a favor. Help me out. Please vote no.
Mr. Emerson.
Madam Speaker and members, I rise in opposition to this legislation. I think it's well-intentioned, but I have not received more calls since I've been here in Sacramento than on this issue from both sides on this issue. Among the many concerns I have is that this bill taxes the responsible pet owner at the expense of those who are irresponsible, and I think that's simply not fair. In addition, the statistics from the California Department of Health Services, from the Veterinarian Public Health Services, show that since 1980 up to 2005, there's been a steady decline in the number of euthanasia issues on pets, and this has all been done without a state mandate. I have information here from the Pet PAC that announces that this mandate on local government will cost over $1 billion annually. I ask for your no vote on this issue.
Mr. Nava.
Thank you, Madam Speaker and members. It's the first day of the fifth day. The Labrador Retriever, without a license or a collar, has been brought into the shelter. It's examined, its teeth are looked at, it's fed, if its coat is matted, it's cut or brushed, and then it's put in its cage, day one. Day two passes. There's been no one to the shelter to claim the Labrador Retriever. There is no name. The shelter workers give it one. Day three, no one has come for the Labrador Retriever that the workers in the shelter now know and have named. Day four, no change in circumstances. Day five, it's time to kill the Labrador Retriever. Here's how it's done. A worker travels back to where it's kept, slips a leash over its neck, and drags it to the cold slab at the front of the veterinarian's office, where three people hold the dog down. The dog is not happy about this. The leash is wrapped around its muzzle so that they're not bitten. Two people hold the animal down. One veterinarian administers the injection. They hold the dog until it dies. After the dog's death, it joins the other cats and dogs who have been killed after their fifth day in a 55-gallon drum kept at the rear of the facility until the rendering truck arrives. The 55-gallon drums are loaded onto the back of the truck that has entered into a contract with the facility to take away the dead animals. They're not buried. Sometimes they are incinerated, but more often than not, they're rendered. The bodies are placed in large vats and heated until the fatty tissue separates from the muscle and the bone of the dog and the animal. That fatty tissue is then harvested and sold, and that which cannot be processed commercially is then discarded. This happens almost half a million times a year. Those people who love their animals, I will guarantee you, when we first learned that there was foreign substance in the Chinese additives in our foods, there isn't a pet owner alive who didn't call their vet, who didn't go to the store and specifically ask for food that wasn't poisoned. That's how much we love our animals. Our animals know when we are unhappy. They know when we are sad. They respond to that. That is the bond that we make with our animals. But for almost half a million of those, no one loves them, no one cares about them, and they are killed. I don't ever want to hear the word euthanasia again in relation to this bill. Stop playing games with the language. These animals are killed and rendered and then turned into other things. That's what this bill is about, ladies and gentlemen. It's about the 1 million dogs and cats that somebody threw out the window of the car or left by the side of the road or got tired of having to provide it with exercise and care. 1 million animals a year in California. And of that million, almost half of them are killed in the way that I have described. I have three pets, a cat and two dogs. They all came from shelters. They've all either been spayed or neutered. I am not asking anybody to do something I'm not prepared to do myself, because quite frankly, it is the responsible thing to do. It is the responsible thing to do for the 500,000 dogs and cats who are killed every year because there's no place for them. I would urge an aye vote.
Mr. Bell.
Madam Speaker and members, as a local government official, last December I celebrated my 30th year as a local government official, and much of that time we spent trying to figure out on the City Council in San Jose and the Board of Supervisors how to deal with the rising overpopulation problem of unwanted pets, and the costs just keep going up and up and up. And it is a statewide problem, and there's a crying need for a statewide piece of legislation. That's why I'm supporting this. I respect the author's intention to continue to work on amendments, and I think that's important. But we need to come up with some statewide problems, because this is where the solution lies, right here, not at the local level. We need to work on a statewide solution. I urge an aye vote. Let's continue to work on this. Let's hammer this out. And I know we went through the same thing locally. We went through months and months between the various groups. We finally hammered out a local ordinance, but the cost just keeps going up and up and up.
We need a statewide solution, so I urge an aye vote on this measure. Thank you.
Ms. Brownlee.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Question of the author?
Without objection.
Thank you. Mr. Levine, I know we've had some conversations about your bill, and I have probably two primary concerns. One is around, you've talked about a waivable fee. My concern is making sure that everyone, particularly the poor, have access to a free and affordable avenue to spay or neuter their pet. I believe that if they don't have access to that, that there's going to be so many pet owners under the radar that this bill could have the wrong outcome. And so that is one concern. Second concern is the concern about 4 months, the four-month requirement to spay your pet. And I was wondering if you could address those two issues for me.
Certainly. Thank you very much for the question, Ms. Brownlee. As you indicated, we have spoken on this. In reference to the first part of your question, the low-cost spay and neuter, there have been low-cost spay and neuter programs throughout California for quite some time now. If you go to your shelter, wherever you live in California, and you inquire about it, they can provide you information. There are mobile vans that go around. I have here a list of all, or at least all of the ones that we know of, low-cost and free spay and neuter shelters in California organized by county. On the website in support of my legislation, that piece of information exists. In conversations with you, one of the things that we are prepared to do in the Senate as well is to work in so that when the citation is issued to a person, they are also at the same time provided information on where to obtain free or low-cost spay or neuter. So they receive it at the exact same time, so they don't have to go hunting for it themselves and find out where it is. There are individuals in this state who donate hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. Some of you have gotten calls from Mr. Bob Barker. He's one of those individuals to further that end to get that low-cost spay and neuter. So I can assure you we will continue to do everything we can to put the information in people's hands and to make those facilities available. Part two of your question was on the four-month spay and neuter. The law right now, or the bill right now, requires that the animal be spayed or neutered by the age of 4 months. It was done that way for two primary reasons, and done so in consultation with the California Veterinary Medical Association, who is one of the sponsors of this bill. It's done so because, first of all, it's healthy. It's perfectly healthy for the animal. Now, there may be those individuals who argue it should be done at different ages, but it isn't unhealthy for the animal. It is just before both dogs and cats reach sexual maturity. Unlike human beings, dogs and cats reach sexual maturity at a very early age, 5 and 6 months. It's also done when the rabies and distemper shots have to be taken, so it's kind of a one-stop shop. The third point that I will make on that is in the bill today, there is a provision that says a veterinarian may write a letter to the pet owner that says that extends that time period for 75 days, so to 6.5 months, for basically any reason, but the health and well-being, illness, et cetera, of the animal. On the Senate side, we're in discussions with a large coalition of people on how to appropriately address that issue. It's been raised before. While we're not sure where that date will be, there's been some discussions already as just to moving it to 6 months instead of 4 months. I can't commit to a specific one, but I know that my coalition is watching and has heard your concerns, and I've talked to them about that. We are concerned about that. In the bill today, it's 4 months with a waivable one, but I think if it helps make people comfortable, we would consider changing that date as well.
Well, I do think that there is some debate around the science of 4 months, 6 months, a year. I also believe that there's a certain comfort level, with owners. But I appreciate your comments. I will support your bill today to move it to the Senate. I look forward to the amendments that you bring back to this floor. And I will hold my vote in abeyance at that time until I see all those amendments. Thank you very much, Mr. Levine.
Mr. Jones.
Madam Speaker, members, our analysis indicates that local governments spend over $250 million annually in killing unwanted animals. I don't know about your districts, but in my district, we have some problems. We got a murder rate that's rising. We have a violent crime rate that's rising. We have a gang problem. We have all sorts of issues that money could better be spent on than killing unwanted animals. So I applaud the author for bringing this forward. I applaud his willingness to take the amendments. I applaud his willingness to work with the opponents. But it's high time we took a thoughtful, comprehensive, statewide solution to this problem to relieve our local governments of the burden of a problem and allow them to use those resources on much more important things. I ask for your aye vote.
Mr. DeSaunier.
Matt, thank you, Madam Speaker. When this issue first began for me, I had a completely open mind about it. It might have been the author, since we ended last night commenting about authorship, Mr. Levine. But Mr. Nava said something in appropriations that really had an impact on me. And I have great sympathy, and I believe on both sides is obviously emotion and caring about animals as an animal owner as well. But the comments and appropriations brought me back to four terms on a county board of supervisors where our animal services department provided over 90% of the animal services for the county. And every year at this time of the year, we were presented with the Sophie choices of, do you take money from homeless services, from mental health, from overmatches in foster care, and where do you take those from? And similar to Mr. Jones's comments, that was where I came to the point where this is worth an opportunity to try, that it may just get us out of those decisions and be able to take some of this money and put it to those kind of programs, homeless programs, mental health programs, programs for young people at risk. So for that reason, I support the bill, and I hope as many of my colleagues as possible will also support the bill.
Mr. Leno.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I've had some of the same concerns that those members who have spoken opposition to this bill have had. And I also want to speak up for the mutts of the world. I understand the reason for the author moving forward with this bill. I think Mr. Jones just stated it very clearly. All of us recognize there are limited dollars to deal with unlimited challenges to our local communities. So I would need to know from the author, and this is in the form of a question, Madam Speaker.
Without objection.
If indeed there will be an amendment in the Senate that would allow for a litter per year, which is in fact the Santa Cruz model upon which this is supposedly based, for dogs and for cats, so that Mr. Adams's concern, Mr. Gaines's concern, so a family with a non-pure breed could have a family litter once a year, and at the same time make sure that we're not killing 500,000 unwanted animals each year.
Mr. Leno, you and I have spoken on this. We spoke on this in Appropriations Committee as well. At that time, we were not sure where our coalition was. I can tell you that we will take an amendment in the Senate to address that concern, to structure it after the Santa Cruz model so that a legitimate person who wants to have a litter can do so.
And that would be through the certification process?
Yes.
Great. Well, with that certainty and guarantee, I can vote for it today, and I can vote for it when it comes back in concurrence. But that's a very important piece of the puzzle for me.
I recognize that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ms. Galjani.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I, too, am pleased that you're going after this goal. I think it's absolutely wrong that we have that many pets that are being put down every year. But I have several concerns with this bill. I served as a volunteer foster parent of kittens for my local SPCA, and I have fostered over 100 kittens over time. So I have concerns that this bill is too prescriptive with regard to the age, and that's the same conversation that Ms. Brownlee had with you. I have taken care of many that come down with illnesses at 3 months, or maybe they're up close to being up for adoption and then they have to be brought back into a home, taken care of, so on and so forth. There's so many different problems that come up that this bill would create, I believe, additional hardships. Secondly, I'm concerned about the $500 penalty. I think that there's another way that we can go about accomplishing the same goal without being so punitive in the manner in which we're trying to do this. I've been the 22-year-old saving up money for a spay or a neuter of a stray cat that's wandered to my door. And as while people are well-intentioned, people who are poor don't always have the discretionary money to do that when a young animal is just 4 months or 6 months. So I think a better way to go about this might be to allow for an opportunity to cure. If you want someone who has an animal that hasn't been spayed or neutered to fix that animal, you catch them, the animal's not fixed, give them the opportunity to go and have the animal fixed rather than have the $500 penalty assessed on them. And again, as was mentioned earlier, a better way even is to have the spay and neuter clinics available to those who don't have the funds to be able to do it on their own. Thank you.
Mr. Solario.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise in support of this measure. Not only is this bill going to save the lives of many animals, but as taxpayers, and we're all taxpayers and our constituents are taxpayers, this item would save millions of dollars per year. You multiply that times 10 years, we're talking about billions of dollars. And guess what? We better use that instead on things like education, health care, the things that really matter. Also, you know, we talk about just the cost of, you know, killing these animals, but there are also costs with animal shelters. And literally every year, through capital costs, cities, counties are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on capital costs. So this will save in that regard, too. Lastly, let me say that I represent some cities with a lot of poor working families. But you know what? In those communities, there are already a lot of free or low-cost spay and neutering services. And I think this bill will only increase the number of those. And so, again, I think it's good for taxpayers, and it's a very reasonable measure for this state. Thank you.
Mr. Liu.
I have a question for the author.
Without objection.
Senator Levine, I know my staff and your staff have had several conversations about a constituent I have who is a hobby breeder of Bengal cats. And my understanding is that under your bill and amendments you're going to take, that my constituent will still be able to continue breeding Bengal cats.
Yes, so long as those Bengal cats aren't the Bengal tigers prohibited by Mr. Corrett's bill last year, and they are truly miniature Bengal cats, yes.
They're little. So with that understanding, I'm going to vote for a bill. Thank you.
Mr. Huff.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Our roads are crumbling. Our schools are said to be underfunded. Our budget is chronically imbalanced. And we're spending our time here dialoguing about doggies and kitties. My apologies to former Assemblyman Ray Haynes for torturing one of his opening dialogues from last year. But we do have many pressing issues in here. Some of those we're addressing. The speaker, the author of this, has made a comment that this is a huge problem, quote, a huge problem at the local level, and we need to do something about it. Now think about the irony in his own words. Mr. Levine says there's a severe problem at the local level, but we up here in Sacramento should be doing something about it. I wrote down exactly what you said, Mr. Levine. This is nonsense. This is a problem at the local level. We've heard in testimony, overwhelming testimony, over the last few weeks that Santa Cruz and San Francisco had a problem. What did they do about it? They crafted their own ordinances. In fact, this is supposedly tailored on the Santa Cruz model. Well, if they're sharp enough to figure out what their problems are, aren't other cities sharp enough to figure out a solution to their own doggy and kitty problem? And by the way, most of the animals that are put down in these shelters are feral cats. Now, do you think that us enacting this bill today is going to solve a feral cat problem? They're feral because cats are wild. Nobody controls them. They hop the fences. They climb the trees. They chase the birds. They can live off the land very well and adapt, and they do. And so we can go through this exercise, but you will not solve the feral cat problem. Now, from what I'm hearing, the common denominator is we are having to euthanize too many pets. And yet we're going to be taking up a bill today or tomorrow about euthanizing humans. Will you be so passionate on this issue when we're talking about human euthanizing? This is a problem that should be dealt with at the local level. And yet, while we sit here and talk about cutting the reproductive organs of doggies and kitties, we are in fact cutting the rug out from under local government who can and should be making these decisions. I ask for your no vote.
Mr. Plesha.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I guess permission to use a prop, just a picture.
Without objection.
You know, Mr. Levine, I like Mr. Anthony Adams here, my wife is very passionate about our kids, our dogs. I always believe you can put people when they talk about pets, and they're either dog people or cat people. I mean, very few people are very passionate about both. And, you know, personally, if you amend this to take the dogs out, I'm with you because I'm a dog person, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I'm going to get the wrath from all the cat people, I guess, now. But these are our kids right now. This is Baxter, our full-blooded AKC Labrador, $500. This is Kylie, German Shepherd, German bloodlines, $1,200. This is Madison, Akita, German Shepherd, Rottweiler, Humane Society, $60. Now, my wife always teases me that Madison's my favorite. Might have had something to do with the cost. But she's also the healthiest. She also has the less trips to the vet. What this bill is going to end up doing is really hurting families, I believe, that would like to have the companion of a dog, and the mutts are the least expensive to attain. Even in today's morning report, the only items for sale are Labrador puppies. $600 for the male, $750 for the females. Not a lot of families can afford to buy purebreds, which at the end of the day, this bill is going to force. There's just a lot of problems. I think it's the wrong tact. I think this legislature has been getting along very well and speaking very civilly on a lot of issues. There hasn't been a lot of crazy bills, but a lot of people have just talked about the cost to local government. Just a few minutes ago, this House voted to pass along a huge risk to the local government if the state's levies burst. You weren't so concerned about local government cost at that time. This is just the wrong tact. We need to quit pulling bills out of the crazy bill factory, or else someone out there in the general public's going to put something on the ballot requiring mandatory spay and neutering of legislators so we don't pass along these genes, and it probably will pass. I urge a no vote.
Mr. LaMalfa.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise in opposition as well. I've had the privilege of riding a dog sled before, being pulled by not just the husky-type dogs. In this case, they were mutt-type dogs. They're very good on the dog sleds. Some of the best ones when you talk to the drivers. And I know that's not a great big growth industry in California, you know, dog sled racing, but it's kind of a big deal up at the far north end of the state. It's important to them. We don't have the ability to get mutts. It affects their life. But beyond all that, people that have animals, they made a conscious decision to obtain them. And so if there had been a spaying or neutering one generation above that, they would not have that animal. They would obtain it from somewhere. Therefore, if you have an irresponsible pet owner, one that would just dump their dog or cat when they're done with it, having spayed the previous generation would not take care of that solution or that problem. That would not be the solution because they would obtain it from somewhere else, from someone else's non-spayed animal. It really cuts back to the heart that it's the irresponsibility of pet owners in taking care of their already alive, born, probably full-size animal. It was just mentioned that so many of them are feral cats, wild cats, as Mr. Huff mentioned. We have thousands of those in my area. They've adapted to the land. Spain are neutering domestic cats where primarily they live indoors or people keep a very close eye on them. It's not going to change that. As far as dogs go, dogs get caught up with pretty quick. If it's an urban area, likely they're going to get caught. If it's along a roadway somewhere, tragically, you see many times they get hit. That really hurts to have to see. Irresponsible pet owners not taking care of their dogs in urban areas or rural areas. If they're allowed to run in rural areas, they're likely to get shot once they get into somebody's livestock or where they're not supposed to be. So again, forcing people to spay their dogs, neuter their dogs, doesn't really address the issue as well. It's irresponsible pet owners. Because by and large, loose dogs mean irresponsible pet owner. Responsible owners take care of their animals. They aren't letting their dogs run. Therefore, there's really no need for them to have to be spayed or neutered. They're being taken care of at home. So it comes down to we have a very overly prescriptive bill telling people how many litters of cats and dogs they can have per year, per month, per whatever. Having fines that come in and tell them how many months you have to wait until it's required. And if you don't hit that mark, whammo, you get hit $500 fine. Who has time to police all this stuff? Who in their busy lives can keep track of the clock on when you're supposed to haul your animal in to get this done? I think this is micromanagement at its worst, all due respect to my friend, the author there, but it's a prime example of why this legislature becomes a laughingstock when we want to reach into that personal aspect of people's lives, telling them this is how you need to handle your animal's reproductive capacity. So this is, again, a very wrong-headed approach, and we ought to be tackling other issues for the state of California besides something that will not work to significantly reduce any pet population. I urge your no vote.
Ms. Wolk.
Question of the author.
Without objection.
Mr. Levine, one of the issues that was raised in my district...
There you go.
In my district, by the farmers and ranchers, has to do with the issue of mixed breeds, which they use. Would you speak to that issue for me, please?
Yes, we've a number of groups and organizations have raised some concerns over the impact on them. We've dealt with a number of those organizations already, such as police dogs, bond dogs, guide dogs for the blind, etc. There are a few others who we're still working with: ranch dogs, working dogs, farm dogs. Mr. Adams, agility dogs are among those as well. And we're continuing to work on that. We're in negotiations on amendments. We don't have them at this time. I know that we need them before the bill comes back. We will have them before the bill comes back.
Thank you, Mr. Levine, and I appreciate that. And on the basis of that, I will vote to move the bill forward and look forward to those amendments. Thank you.
Mr. Spitzer.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. As a county supervisor, I had our animal shelter in my district, and I want to commend Mr. Nava's opening statement. I thought it was an amazing opening statement. And he's right. And Mr. Levine is right. And what we're doing in the state of putting down pets, in my opinion, is unconscionable. The obligation of local jurisdictions to fund animal shelters with other priorities is frustrating. When I was an Orange County supervisor with Jim Silva, we used to house our cats in gang cages. A gang cage is where all the cats are in one large cage as opposed to their own individual cages. And as a result of negotiations with the Board of Supervisors, we actually moved the cats into their own individual cages, which was obviously the humane and right thing to do. With respect, however, to page 3 of the bill, the civil fine, while I agree with the intent of the author, I am frustrated that the bill as presently written does not treat a citizen's behavior, it's presumptively criminal the way the bill is written. If it was a fix-it ticket, that is where a citizen's pet was taken into custody, not spay or neutered, and as a result, they were cited $500, it seems to me the reasonable and rational thing to do is if they agree to have their pet spay or neutered, and they prove that to the local jurisdiction, the fine as a matter of law would be waived. shall be waived. Because we're trying to incentivize people to be responsible, not make them reach into their pocket and pay a $500 fine. To my good friend, Mr. Solario, I think that would have a direct impact in his jurisdiction, despite the good intent of his citizens. So I have a question for Mr. Levine, if I might.
Without objection.
Mr. Levine, I am prepared to support this bill under one understanding, and that is, sorry, I'm trying to face you.
Technical difficulty.
If you are willing to represent to the body the point that Ms. Galgiani raised, which is my concern, I talked to you privately, she raised it publicly, I wanted to raise it publicly now as a result. If you're willing to change on page 3, line 30, and may I read from the bill?
Without objection.
Quote, any subdivision D, any civil penalty imposed under subdivision little b may be waived, and change that to shall be waived, and going on, in whole or in part by the local jurisdiction, if the person in violation provides verification that his or her cat or dog has been spayed or neutered, I'd be willing to support the bill. Are you willing to agree that it's a fix-it ticket for all intents and purposes? They show proof, they don't pay the fine.
Mr. Spitzer, I commit to you. I actually was under the presumption that that was the case. I appreciate the fact that you showed that language to me. We will amend that bill in the Senate. It shall be waived, not may be waived. The intent here was to get people to act responsibly and alter their animals, not to penalize people. I will commit to you here today in front of the body as a witness to take that amendment in the Senate when we take all of the other amendments that still need to be made. We will make that shall be waived. I appreciate that concern, and I appreciate your support.
Very good. Thank you. With that representation, colleagues, despite the other, I think, incredible dialogue, very good points by my colleagues, I personally feel that that is an appropriate way to approach this problem. It is responsible to have pets be pet owners be responsible, but it's a little over the top to fine them a $500 fine when they can correct that animal. And I'll be supporting the measure.
Members, all debate having ceased, Mr. Levine, you may close.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. And members, I want to thank the body for the deliberative discussions today. The inflammatory rhetoric was actually kept to a minimum, and I appreciate that. It is a serious issue to people across California. There are many different varieties of animal lovers in California, and they all feel very passionately about their animals. Again, I recognize, as some of you have indicated, there is some work to do on this bill. But as I started with, I want to remind members, we spend $300 million a year at the state and local level. It is the third highest reimbursable mandate, 1 million animals a year going into shelters, 500,000 euthanized. We can do better for the state, and we can do better for our animals. Some of the testimony or discussion you've heard today has been repeated by opponents of this bill, but just isn't actually correct. Feral cats, for example, are a very, very small part of the problem at shelters. They don't end up in shelters. The opponents of this bill have tried to make it seem like that is the large problem, but in fact, it isn't. I will save the remainder of my close and simply close with this. We received a letter yesterday from a woman. I will leave her name out of it. She simply says, I am an animal control officer, and I challenge any assembly person or breeder to work in a shelter for 1 week if they are against this bill. Let them hold a cat or a dog when it takes its last breath, just because we can't find enough homes for them. Let them explain time and time again to school children why we can't save them all, knowing that the biggest tool was in their hands. Let them go out in the field and rescue a stray cat or dog that is starving, beaten, or lost because its previous owner kicked them out. Let them clean up the nasty freezer of the smell of death that you will never forget. Let them lose sleep after you have put so many animals to sleep and you can't get it out of your dreams. If these assembly members and non-supporters could walk in my boots for just 1 week, I think they would all see that Assembly Bill 1634 is the best tool to get this problem under control. Members, we have a serious problem. I don't think anybody can debate it's a serious problem. I'm trying to address that. We're trying to work on it for the fiscal impacts and the humanitarian impacts. Please, let's move this bill to the Senate and let's keep working on it. I ask for an aye vote.
Members, all debate having ceased, the clerk will open the roll. All members vote who desire to vote. All members vote who desire to vote. All members vote who desire to vote. Mr. Levine moves call. Number 18 passed temporarily. Number 19.